The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
There's a lot of sexual harassment between the diner and the server. And it's been a pretty big deal. So this restaurant in San Francisco, they came up with this very interesting way. And by the way, the name of the restaurant is, it's Max. Mac and Cheese. It's Homeroom Mac and Cheese. That's it. And they actually have very, very good food. But Homeroom, they have that particular chef group. They have several restaurants. One of the servers, you know, was kind of touched sexually by a guest. So they came up with this system of indicating to the manager that they were being sexually harassed. So yellow means, which is like DEFCON 1, there is a problem. I'm feeling uncomfortable. And then they just kind of watch the table. If they say orange, then the manager actually takes over the table. They may have said something inappropriate. The server never goes back.
Okay.
And say it's just a sudden red flag. It goes right to red and there's no in between. Then the manager actually walks up and says, that was inappropriate. If you're going to continue this behavior, you need to leave.
Okay. And at first, as you're saying this, I was like, red, yellow, orange. This just sounds too complicated. Why don't you? But no, mm-hmm. as you were going on, I realized in a business that's about timing mm-hmm. and you have to do stuff fast, it's just an easy, you could say 1, 2, 3 or ABC. You can call it anything, but it's the three categories where they could just go right to the manager and go orange table 11, done.
We have an orange situation on table 69.
Well, what happened? And let me explain. No, just orange. So they know right over there, I'm going to take over the table. Done. Good to go.
You missed the joke. It was table 69. I mean,
I didn't even catch that. Sorry. I was more focused on the important topic at hand here, Patrick.
It is a big problem that we deal with in restaurants.
The funny thing is, restaurants are very concerned about the restaurant, about the customer sexually harassing the staff, mm-hmm. but not so much the staff sexually harassing the staff.
Well, they are now. It's become a huge issue, and HR is like the number one headache in restaurants now. Just trying to deal with all that, putting systems in place to kind of maintain the level of service and the level of treatment between staff, not just between the guest and the diner and the staff.
I wonder if butcher shops have particular problems. I mean, being meat markets, is that a
cha-ching?
And you're like, hey, it's. It's like a real meat market in here. Yeah, we're a meat market. What do you want?
I came here to pick up a strip loin.
That's what you did there. That's very good. All right, lightning round, another headline. This robot pizza company's delivery trucks can now bake 120 pizzas per hour. Robot pizza delivery trucks.
Figure, you know, give it to Silicon Valley and a pizza company based there to come up with a robotic truck. That's actually a truck that drives around, delivers pizza, but... They used to have like 100 ovens inside of this truck. Now they think they've got it down to like 20 or 30. It's not completely automated though. They need someone in there to finish the pizzas, the toppings, but it's pretty cool. They have a machine that takes the dough, puts the sauce, the cheese, the toppings on, but then there has to be someone to take the pizza out of the oven box, cut it, and all that kind of stuff.
But pizza ovens, I mean, they're cooking pizza depending upon what toppings and how thick the dough. Some of them are cooking 6-7 minutes, right?
So if you're doing like a Neapolitan style pizza, the oven's at 800 degrees, it's about 90 seconds.
Okay, so it's even that. I've seen those vending machines where it makes your pizza right there, mm-hmm. start to finish. I could very easily see down the road, because we talked about pizza delivery by mm-hmm. drone and truck, where it's making your pizza en route.
That's what this does.
But you wouldn't need anybody eventually to even mm-hmm. box it or cut it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the drone, Chris. So you order the drone en route, makes your pie.
Yeah, like Ready Player One. Remember that drone pizza?
Don't ruin the movie. They just ruined it.
Yeah, like...
Headline, food editor Mike Costello shares his vision for Appalachian food. It's complicated. I was just interested in Appalachian. What is Appalachian food?
You know, the article never gets to the point of that. But Appalachian food is kind of it's actually really an amalgam, a crossroads of the, you know, most of the regions of the United States. And, you know, you typically think of biscuits and gravy, stews. You know, we talked about the old, chicken and or squirrel dumplings mm-hmm, kind of recipes, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But actually, they have a very unique region there, and they have some foods that don't grow anywhere else. they grow some really old, like heirloom corn that's kind of the purplish red corn.
Oh, yeah.
They grow some squash that don't grow anywhere.
Ramps. You ever heard of ramps?
Oh, well, yeah. I lived in upstate New York, ramps grew wild. We called them weeds. You just pick them.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought we were so poor we couldn't like buy onions at the grocery store or garlic cloves. But yeah, so they're like $60 to $100 a pound, depending on the time. You know, they're only available for like 2 weeks a year.
Yeah, so Appalachia, you're going to have one element rural, one element probably southern. Mm-hmm. You'll get a little influences, yeah. I mean, as far as that goes.
Well, what's interesting is the article never goes into that. It really just talks about that Appalachian food is more about the human experience, the storytelling, the people involved in making the food. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really sure what that has to do with the food.
No, and you know what's funny too, when it comes to rural areas now, part of the reason we like those southern comfort food dishes and restaurants that are all out there, you know, we know what that means. But now some of the poor areas rely on prepared, partially prepared, you know, these dishes that are made with, well, you start with Mac Kraft dinner. You start with a bag of potato chips. You're not getting the... You see what I'm saying? A lot of the cuisine in America was driven by the common folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the problems. We talked about, you know, for most people, 60% of our calories come from prepared foods, which has basically no nutritional value. It's packaged food that's been highly processed and typically has loads of preservatives and sodium and high fat. And that's just one of the things that we're so far removed. We talked about this. So far removed from our food that... You are what you eat, which means you're fat and unhealthy.
Yeah. No, you summed up right there. All right, Chef Patrick Mosier. Follow him on Twitter at foodbizpro.com. I always do that. Foodbizpro.com. On Twitter at foodbizpro.
Knowledge is power. Tweet at us with the hashtag #WhatILearnedToday. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.